Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Do you care? Are you going to be watching? 319-366-1600. Todd is out. Kyle is in. Alex and Kyle take you up until 6 o'clock before we head out to Greensboro for the Iowa women's basketball contest against Baylor, where the Hawkeyes look to get to the Final Four for the first time since 1993. Happy Monday! Welcome into Studio A on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Packed show for you today. 319-366-1600. Are you excited for the Final Four? Kyle, are you excited for the Final Four?
I actually am. This is, things kind of went exactly kind of opposite how I thought they would, but I think we've got some really good teams. Going to get some really good games here. Of course I'm excited for the Final Four.
This has been such a strange tournament so far because the narrative has switched at least four or five times. Where last week we were talking about how chalky this NCAA tournament was. And, oh, are the one seeds going to run through this? Are we going to see North Carolina? Are we going to see Duke? Are we going to see Gonzaga and Virginia? Are we going to see all four of them in the Final Four? As it turns out, we see one of them, and it's the one that pretty much everybody wrote off as the first number one seed that was going to lose.
We did it right here on the show. We hosted the Monday after we got the field for the tournament, and I believe you might have chosen Gonzaga just for the sake of debate, but we both chose Virginia as the number one seed most likely to lose.
And they nearly lost. What a fantastic round of games, quite honestly. But that game in particular, I know that there's this debate, and we'll get into Zion Williamson and him not being in the tournament and the debate about whether or not people are excited for the Final Four. Quite honestly, as someone who wanted to see Zion Williamson in playing two more games, I am a little disappointed. There's no question about that. I want to see one of the greatest college basketball player in my lifetime. And I say that with complete confidence. The greatest college basketball player in my lifetime is Zion Williamson, and I wanted to see him play at least two more games and get into that national championship game. Instead, Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans go ahead and get to the Final Four instead of the Duke Blue Devils. But that Purdue and Virginia contest. I know there's always this reaction when something goes wrong that maybe you should change something. I don't think Purdue changes anything that they did at the end of that game. They foul Virginia with 5 seconds left. They're up by three. They send them to the line. Virginia makes the first. They tried to make the second. It hit the back heel of the iron, bounces out to midcourt. Virginia gets the ball into the front court, hits a shot to tie the game with no time on the clock. The ball was released with 0.1 second left on the clock. That's what you call a fluke, right? You decide to foul up by three with 5 seconds every time if you can, right?
And we were talking about this concept for a different reason earlier today in the office, where there are certain things where, you know, stuff doesn't always go your way, but you look back on things and you know that you did make the best decision and you did what you had to do. And sometimes things just don't work out, but you can't kick yourself for handling that situation the way that they did, because they did, like you said, they did exactly what they should have done and it just didn't work out.
We're going to have a Mulligan's $30 gift certificate available for you today at some point to caller number 6. We're working a little bit shorthanded here, so bear with us if you call in and want to join the show. 319-366-1600 is the phone line and the text line. And Mondays on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn are brought to you by Randy's flooring. So are you disappointed at all to not see Zion Williamson in the Final Four?
I mean, a little bit. Obviously, in the short term here, nobody remaining in the field is as exciting as Zion. And so, you know, in that sense, of course, I'm a little bit disappointed that Zion's no longer playing. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to pretend it's not going to be a few short months before we're seeing him playing in the pros, and, you know, this whole hype train starts all over again. It's going to be just the same next year, except actually probably even a little bit louder once he's a pro. So I am disappointed that he's out of the field, but, you know, we're going to see him again, and we're going to get really good basketball without him. So, you know, it's not the... I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, the tournament's over and nobody's going to watch anymore just because Zion's out. That's not the case. We're going to get some really good basketball.
I will. The tournament's over.
Really?
I watched him this past weekend, and it's frustrating to me that somebody that good is not playing on. That in a 7-game series and a 3-game series, between those two schools, Duke is probably going to win that. And on one bounce here, one bounce there, Michigan State gets by Duke. And that guy, Zion Williamson being that guy, is not going to be on the television set. That hurts.
So you're really not going to watch now?
No, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to watch, but that man is must-watch television. That man is... If the television is on and he is on it, I'm sitting down and I'm dropping everything that I'm doing and I'm going to watch him. He is incredible. And I know the takes are flowing out there that maybe RJ Barrett will be a better NBA player Cam Reddish. No, that's ridiculous. But Zion Williamson is the only player that I can remember in the college game since I have been alive. Maybe Jimmer Fredette in his time at BYU could be put in this category, or maybe even Steph Curry when he was at Davidson and that run to the Elite Eight could be put in this category. But he's the one guy where if he's on TV, I'm dropping everything I'm doing and I'm watching him, because you know you're going to see something so incredible. And that to me is just sort of the core of why I watch sports. Now, like you said, no, I'm not gonna stop watching the NCAA tournament. I really like watching Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech play basketball.
Yep.
I think he is a fantastic player. But Virginia Auburn at 5:09 on Saturday evening, if something better's going on, I'm not gonna feel the need to be glued to the television. Does that make sense?
It does. I guess it just kind of... We're a little bit spoiled. I mean, I don't really think anybody out there would disagree with you and say, you know, I'm so stoked Zion's finally done. I'm not going to be wowed every single night he takes the floor. That's just a sort of the natural reaction to this. Zion's not out, or Zion's no longer playing. Zion entertained everybody, and so that is, of course, disappointing. But I don't think there's actually a lot of fans out there who would actually say that this is now a disappointing tournament.
So this brings us to the next topic. Thank you, 7011 on the Hurtine & Stocker text line, 8721. The takes about Coach K and really John Calipari as well, because Kentucky lost yesterday to Auburn. Auburn, without one of their best players who tore his ACL in the Sweet 16, beat Kentucky, even though PJ Washington had, 28-13? Coach K is getting a lot of flack for not winning a national championship with this team. Now, it's strange because you have half the people defending him saying, oh, well, this is a young team and this is what happens to young teams. The other half saying this is the most talented roster that he's ever had. And I think that's barely debatable. This is one of the most talented rosters that he's ever had. Does he deserve a little bit of flack for not being able to win the national championship with three of the best players, or at least three of the most talented players in college basketball?
It's so difficult because On the one hand, there's so much talent. We know the personnel is good. And you know, we also know Coach K is good. He's the coach of Team USA for a reason. He's an incredibly good coach. And so you give that good of a coach that much talent, and it just seems like things should fall into place. And so those expectations are there, and that's extremely logical. But at the same time, let's look at the teams we have in. Virginia is an extremely veteran team. Texas Tech has veterans on it. Auburn has veterans on it. You know, you can't, as good as the talent might be and as good as the coach may be, you need time and wisdom to be able to just make that stuff click. You can't just, you know, we've seen this every single year now. You can't just take, you know, 3 or 4 5-star players, put them on a floor, and then expect them to go out and actually perform in this tournament, because you do run into teams that are talented, also have good coaches, but have also been doing this for 2, 3, 4 years as a group together. And that's tough to match up with. You know, Duke has the talent, Duke has the coach, but, you know, this is maybe our best example ever that you can't just throw these guys together and expect it to work, because you're going to run into a Michigan State that has a veteran point guard, you know, one of the most, you know, knowledgeable coaches in the country, and can play a little defense and make things hard on those young guys. It's a double-edged sword, because it's, you expect those championships. And like I said, that expectation is reasonable, but it just doesn't work out.
Well, I think the biggest thing is we're talking about Zion here. Did anybody get to see Duke when Zion was out?
It doesn't fit. The team didn't fit together.
RJ Barrett is a very talented player, but and this is why I think that the discussion as to why that's the take that some people are making, that RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish are going to be better NBA players, I don't necessarily understand, because RJ Barrett isn't a great basketball player yet. He's 18, 19 years old. He looks like he might be, but he's very left-handed. He doesn't shoot free throws very well. He doesn't shoot from the outside very well. He turns the ball over. Cam Reddish is a spot-up shooter and a sharpshooter who hasn't really made very many shots this year. Hmm. I agree with you. I think that Kentucky needs to be thrown completely out of this argument, because Kentucky, I thought John Calipari has a completely different team this year than he really has had in the past. And some people are bringing up the team that got beat by Wisconsin in the Final Four, or was that the Elite Eight? I think it was the Final Four. That team had 12 players in the rotation. They never could develop any chemistry. They were there for 1 year. That's almost, I don't care how talented you are, it's going to be very difficult to mesh if you're thrown into those circumstances. So this year he decides, all right, let's bring in a couple of guys who we think are possibly two-year guys. Kelton Johnson's probably going to be a top 5 pick. Tyler Hero, maybe he's a draft pick. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's back for his sophomore year. PJ Washington is a 2-year player. He's a sophomore. So I think John Calipari is seeing what a lot of people are arguing, because Duke has been that team the last few years where they have the one and dones, and they're getting upset in the second round with Jason Tatum by South Carolina, and they're losing to a Kansas team that they had no business losing to in the Elite Eight last year, even though they had 2 of the top 4 picks. So I just wonder, and I hope that maybe this is addressed with the changing of the one and done rule, where they let players go straight to the NBA, and college basketball gets the players who want to be there, who have some interest in being there and growing their game and being coached by some very good coaches, like we've mentioned. But right now, as we've talked about the past couple of years, I think it's hurting certain programs, not being able to gel and really dumbing down the system because you know that you're only going to have a player for 6 months.
Think about this with Izzo and Michigan State and Cassius Winston, or Kansas and you know, that any number of senior guards that Kansas has who come postseason play. Everybody becomes familiar with this fourth or fifth year senior that Kansas has.
Yeah, why was Kansas not really dangerous this year?
Because they didn't have that.
Exactly.
Look at Michigan State and just like take a moment to appreciate Cassius Winston has been at Michigan State in Tom Izzo's system for 4 years now. And it when times are tough, this is a cliche, but when times are tough, Izzo knows he basically has a coach out there on the floor. And Cassius Winston, Tom Izzo can be confident that he doesn't have to call a timeout. Exactly what needs to happen on the floor is going to happen, or at least is going to be put in motion to have happen, because he's got a guy like Cassius Winston on the floor. Duke, they don't have anything like that.
Villanova last year, Jalen Brunson.
Exactly. Exactly. Those heady point guards like that, and team, I guess it doesn't have to be a point guard, but those guys like that who just know how to keep things moving in the right direction, Duke didn't have that. Duke's equivalent of that was let Zion attack the hoop. And don't get me wrong, it's an incredibly effective strategy at times, but it doesn't actually win titles.
319-366-1600. We have all kinds of texts rolling in, and I think the point that you just made there is, as we'll read the text line here in a second, the point guard position especially, right, is what you're pointing at?
In mostly point guard.
And I agree, because think about, let's draw this across sports to college football. Is let's just say that players could leave after their freshman year in college football. What's the one position where you want experience at, where you need experience at?
Oh, God. Can you imagine one-and-done quarterbacks?
Exactly.
Well, actually, I guess we just had Trevor, a couple win the Heisman.
Well, those are the exceptions to the rule. We've never seen anything really like that in quite a while.
And I guess they weren't actual, they weren't true one-and-dones. They had been on campus for multiple years, both of them.
But yes, the quarterback, the point guard position. And that's where I think, like with Kansas this year, Devon Dotson is a fantastic prospect, and he could be an NBA point guard someday. But he was a guy who's a freshman who is trying to learn Bill Self's system, who is trying to lead a team, who is trying to figure out the intensity of playing in big-time NCAA tournament games. That's not something that you're just born with. You have to figure it out. Now, Zion is so much bigger and better than everyone out on the court. And we're getting some text saying that Zion's not the reason that that you watch college basketball. I agree with you 100%, but he sure makes it a lot better. College basketball is great, but Zion Williamson elevated it when he was on the court. When you watched him, it was not just because people, I understand that there's this debate about college and the NBA, and people who watch college are more attracted to the team game. And I get that. I really do. But when you get a guy like that who transcends everything that we know about the one and done, where you're seeing some guys struggle, people forget he's 18. People forget he just turned 19. He's so much better than everyone else out there on the court, not just athletically, but the way he passes the ball, the way he sees the court. He's so much more advanced as a basketball player than any other one and done that we've really ever seen. And so I thought that he elevated this NCAA tournament sort of the way that maybe Jimmer Fredette did at BYU, or Steph Curry did in his run with Davidson to the Elite Eight, where they nearly beat Kansas, the eventual national champion that year, because of Stephen Curry. We don't get these types of players all that often. And so, yes, to be honest with you, I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get to see a couple more chapters of the Zion show.
I think reminds me, I think the last one would have been Blake Griffin was really dominant in this way, kind of highlight reel television, live before your eyes. Kevin Durant was also kind of like that, in just pure and almost, gosh, Durant, man. Griffin was highlight stuff, but Durant, that was good basketball, just dominant basketball.
Well-rounded basketball
and
player, yes.
This is I don't think we have enough time to get into this conversation right now. I don't. And this got brought up on the gym class. How polished do we think Zion actually is, though? Because don't get me wrong, Zion's going to be really good. I think there's a certain, there's a floor, is what they refer to it as. Zion could only be so bad. But I'm not sure exactly how good he actually is yet. Because I don't. Here's the thing. Did you ever see his high school tapes? What he used to do to kids in high school?
Yes.
I was expecting to see a little bit more of an adjustment in college because, you know, you get to college, people are going to be closer to his size and he's going to have to adjust to that. Well, it turns out that actually wasn't the case. He was still way bigger, faster, stronger than everyone in college. And so he was able to just kind of bully his way to the rim all season. We know he's good in transition. What you say is true. He has really good court vision. For his size, he's a very good ball handler. And so those are, you know, good skills. But that just really gives you a good that gives you a good fast break. In terms of half-court offense and how you actually end up using Zion, I don't know if we know that answer yet.
Well, I think that we know more about his game than we know about a lot of other one-and-dones. That's what I'm trying to say. I think that there's still yet a lot to be determined about his game. Of course there is. But look, as I said earlier, look at his teammate RJ Barrett for a comparison. And you mentioned Kevin Durant. He was a very polished basketball player when he was a freshman. But the NBA, how many times do you watch an NBA player and think about, man, I don't remember him being that dominant in his 1 year in college. Pretty much all of them, right? Pretty much all of them, you look back and you said, no, James Harden, he was good at Arizona State, but not really that memorable. Russell Westbrook at UCLA, it's the same thing. Derrick Rose, I know 71-91 brings him up, was another guy where you knew right away. You could see it right away. And that run in 2008 with Memphis, where they got all the way to the final or to the final game and should have won the national championship if they could make free throws, you knew that he was going to be a dominant player. But for every Derrick Rose, there have been several others that didn't necessarily make a huge impact. Zion, compared to RJ Barrett, compared to Cam Reddish, or who's a potential other, who are some of the other one and dones this year?
You've got Naz Reid from LSU.
Oh, he's okay. See, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
These guys, the NBA is looking for untapped potential. And it's weird because a senior with that same skill set is going to be a second round pick. Not Zion Williamson. I'm talking about Naz Reid. A senior with that skill set.
Do we know that guy?
What's that?
I think that guy plays for Iowa.
Tyler Cook.
It's kind of close.
A senior with Naz Reid from LSU's skill set equals Tyler Cook. My goodness, you just blew my mind. And so yes, they're still, but with Zion, yeah, I think there are question marks. I think honestly his size, he is so big. And at 18, 19 years old, you think he's going to have to slim down a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, but
he gets tired.
That's one of his,
cuz he plays so hard.
This is going to be my favorite stat. We're going to hear this several more times throughout the summer. At 285 pounds, at the age of 18, Zion Williamson will enter the NBA next season and be the second heaviest player in the league, lighter only than Boban.
Boban.
Who's 7'3"?
He's the one who can dunk without jumping. 426. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. And I forgot to mention that Scott Phillips from College Basketball Talk under the NBC Sports umbrella is going to join us, and we'll talk more NCAA tournament action, including the Zion Williamson discussion. Iowa basketball, they take on Baylor tonight. We'll get into that. We're going to be sending you out to Greensboro at 6 o'clock, so this is another abbreviated version of the show. Todd is out today, so myself and Kyle Mann will be taking you up until 6 o'clock. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and Scott Phillips is going to join us on KGYM Afternoon Programming.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. It's gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Our homes are where we make the best family memories. But sometimes things can get a little messy. Kids will be kids and dogs will be dogs, but your floors don't need to show it. Randy's Flooring offers the best selection of pet-proof and kid-proof flooring materials. Let one of the Randy's interior designers or sales professionals help you find the right products at the right price for you and your family. Visit randysflooring.com or stop by either corridor location and see why Randy's makes the difference. Randy's, local flooring experts, by design.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
What the hell are you guys all dressed up for?
429. We'll get to Scott Phillips in just a second, but first, 319-366-1600. Joel in Muscatine joins us on a Monday. Joel, what's going on?
Hey guys, just listening to the Zion conversation, and it's kind of funny how like Moneyball and sabermetrics and baseball have trickled into all sports. Because a player like Zion, even if he isn't, you know, LeBron, but he's kind of like a Jadeveon Clowney, where he's just got so much ability that on any given night he can change the game and have a play or two to swing the game in your favor. To get these kids at 18, 19, 20 years old, and it's all about production per dollar. You can get them in those rookie slotted contracts, let the Nikes, Adidas, and whatever shoe companies of the world, you know, really get those people rich early on, and then their second contract is their big dollars. It's amazing how that all started in baseball, and it's just trickled into all these other sports. And you're exactly right. It's better for these guys to come out early and try to test their mettle early, because teams are going to be more apt and have more forgiveness for a 19-year-old kid who can't make a free throw versus a 23-year-old or 22-year-old who can't make a free throw. So it's just, it's interesting how the sabermetrics are working their way into all sports and really all of life now. So it's funny to me.
Thanks for the phone call, Joel, and I agree. I remember a few years back, there was this left-handed, I'd say 3/4 from Ohio State, and his name is escaping me. But he was an eventual second-round pick, never really made an impact in the league. And he was a senior.
How long ago?
This was probably 6 or 7 years ago. His name is escaping me. And at the same time, whichever draft the Shabazz Muhammad draft was.
Oh, God.
So Shabazz Muhammad was a one-and-done freshman from UCLA. Same measurables, size, left-handed shot. Same production at UCLA. In fact, the Ohio State player... A little bit, had a little bit more production in his senior year. And somebody asked an NBA scout, why is Shabazz Muhammad a first round or a top 15 pick while this Ohio State player who has exactly the same resume is a second round pick? And the scout replied, well, we know what the Ohio State player is not good at. We know his strengths and weaknesses already. We don't know with Shabazz Muhammad. So the unknown actually works in as an advantage for players who are younger, who leave early. So whenever you're thinking, oh, well, that player needs to stay, that player needs more seasoning, it could work against them in the long run, especially for the really highly talented players like R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish and some of the other freshmen, like you mentioned, Naz Reid from LSU.
Was it William Buford?
It was not.
Okay.
I'll think of it in a okay. second, but it was not William Buford. What we need to do right now...
David Leidy.
We need to give Kyle a chance to give you a big board update.
The Iowa women are in the Elite Eight for the first time since 1993 after beating NC State 79-61 on Saturday behind 27 points and 13 boards from Megan Gustafson, who today was named a first-team AP All-American and has put together a very good resume to collect more Player of the Year awards than the ESPN honor she already has. Hannah Stewart also had a double-double with 16 and 11, and Taniya Davis had 10. Now, tonight, the Hawkeyes face top-seeded Baylor for a trip to the Final Four. The Bears are 34-1, but remember, Iowa State played even with this team for three quarters not long ago in the Big 12 championship game. Gustafson became the only Hawkeye to ever be named an AP first-teamer and is one double-double away from the NCAA single-season record. Iowa State's Bridget Carleton was also named a second-teamer. Iowa State's Talon Horton-Tucker declared for the NBA draft this afternoon, making him the second Cyclone departure since the season ended. It's unclear whether or not he's hired an agent at this time, but his statement doesn't read like a guy who plans on coming back to school. The Hawkeye baseball team swept 25th-ranked Illinois, a team that entered the weekend with the fifth-highest RPI in the country. A comeback win in Game 1 was followed by a pitcher's duel fueled and won by sophomore Cam Bauman, not to be outdone by Grant Judkins, who gave up just one run in seven innings in a 3-1 Game 3 victory. The Hawkeyes have two more midweek games this week, hosting Grandview at 4 tomorrow and Illinois State at 6 on Wednesday. The Colonels open their season on Thursday, and today we got our first look at the official opening day roster. It features four of the Twins' top 30 prospects, according to Baseball America. Blaine Enloe is 8th, Junior Severino is 10th, Jordan Belazovich is 20th, and Gilberto Celestino is 30th. We're off at 6 tonight because we'll be bringing that Iowa-Baylor game to you on all three KJYM frequencies. They should be tipping off almost immediately, and then we're also going to have that Stanford-Notre Dame game afterwards.
Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State.
Number 21?
I can't remember what number he wore at Ohio 21. State, but he was drafted 58th in that year's draft, and Shabazz Muhammad went 14th.
And sucked.
He was terrible. One pick later, can you tell me who was drafted?
Giannis
Antetokounmpo.
Yo, give me credit for knowing that.
Well done.
Okay, thank
well
you.
Done. You get a ding. What we're going to do right now, we'll take a one-minute break. We'll come back. And Scott Phillips of College Basketball Talk will join us. More on the way after this.
The Colonels are back, and it's time to party at the park. Opening night for your Cedar Rapids Colonels is Thursday, April 4th. Join us for opening night at Colonels Baseball and enjoy fresh popcorn, jumbo hot dogs, and ice-cold beverages. Remember to grab your 2019 magnet schedule at the game and mark down all the great promotions for the upcoming season. Be there when the Colonels take the field on Thursday, April 4th. Get your tickets now by visiting Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber Window Line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Come see this new affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Yeah. 4:36, hour number one rolls on. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. Once again, we will have an abbreviated edition of the program today. We're going to be sending you out to Greensboro for Iowa's contest in the Elite Eight against the number one team in America, the Baylor Bears, and their very charismatic and lovable coach, Kim Mulkey. I kid. We'll get to that at 5:30. I think Iowa and Iowa State fans finally realize that they have something in common. They don't really like that woman. And she makes it pretty easy sometimes. We'll play the audio from the press conference in Greensboro at 5:30. But first, Scott Phillips of College Basketball Talk under the NBC umbrella joins us now. And Scott, the Final Four, we know the slate. Is this the worst nightmare for CBS?
Hey, good to join you guys.
How's it going, Scott? Can you hear us? Looks like Scott lost us here for a second. We will try to bring him on here in just a minute. Scott, you have us? 319-366-1600, having a little bit of technical difficulties. We will get these worked out in just a second. The worst nightmare for CBS, is it Auburn, Texas Tech, Michigan State, teams that are pretty good, teams that have some players I forgot Virginia. I'll throw Virginia in there. But teams that I don't think a lot of people know. And after an NCAA tournament with so much chalk for the first two rounds, and all the number one seeds advancing to the Sweet 16, the turn that the NCAA tournament took in slating a Final Four really is bizarre. So it's been a strange tournament, and we're going to get Scott's thoughts in just a second. I want to remind you that the Todd Brommelkamp Show on Monday is brought to you by Randy's Flooring. For 40 years and counting, Randy's Flooring has been serving Eastern Iowa with locations in Cedar Rapids and Coralville. They're a proud sponsor of the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Randy's Flooring will donate 5 cents per square foot sold of Comfort Gel carpet cushion. Hands down, one of the best cushions on the market for families with kids and pets. And I believe that we have Scott joining us now, as Scott Phillips from College Basketball Talk. Scott, the Final Four, is this CBS's worst nightmare? We're having some issues, so I guess we'll try to reschedule Scott for a later time. We're having some phone problems. Scott is on the line, and he cannot hear us. 319-366-1600. We're going to have a chance for you to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub for you. We will not be there this week, but we will be there the following week, and you can always join them for their happy hour weekdays 3 to 6. Half price wings, 6 until close. I tried their wings last week. They are fantastic. Plenty of TVs to watch the Final Four, the NCAA tournament, Major League Baseball as it is in full swing, and all kinds of great sporting action throughout the summer. They also have their patio available as well. The Iowa women's basketball team taking on Baylor tonight, and they're going to be heavy underdogs, and that is the subject of our poll question, our Emil's Hideaway poll question at kgymradio.com. It goes like this. The Iowa women are 14.5-point underdogs against Baylor last night. What happens in Greensboro? Does Iowa pull off the upset? Do the Hawks keep it close, or does Baylor roll? And so far, leading the way with just about 55% of the vote, the answer that most people are giving is Baylor rolls. And we will find out at 6 o'clock when we send you out to Greensboro. Plenty of other things going on. Talen Horton Tucker of the Iowa State Cyclones, formerly, at least it looks like, of the Iowa State Cyclones, announcing today via his Twitter that he will be declaring for the NBA draft. Now, there are a couple of caveats that are available for Iowa State fans and for Iowa State. We don't know whether or not he has hired an agent, and presumably he's going to be a guy that will get an invite to the NBA draft combine. And if he is, he can come back to school if he wants to and if he does not get drafted, gets invited to the NBA draft combine, hires an agent, and doesn't accept any monetary value from the agent. So there is that caveat, but with the way that he announced this on Twitter today, it looks like he is leaving, and this is a tough blow. Now, I think there is help in Iowa City. Prentice Nixon, the transfer, I believe, from Colorado State, did not play this year. He had to sit out due to the transfer rules. He averaged over 16 points per game for the Rams last year. He'll be a big help. Mariel Shayok will be gone, and I'll be interested to see what that team looks like, because so many times this year, Mariel Shayok was there to save the day. So many times when the shot clock was winding down, when there was a bad offensive possession, when another team went on a run, Mariel Shayok was the stopper. He was the guy that made things run, and he was the leading scorer in the Big 12 and proved himself as one of the best players in the country, quite honestly, throughout the year. What will Iowa State look like without Mariel Shayok in the fold, and now looking like Talen Horton Tucker as well? And then you're going to have to look out to see what Lindell Wigginton does. Tyrese Halliburton has been a guy that has been popping up in mock drafts. So we will monitor that. We're going to try this for a third time. Let's see. Scott Phillips from College Basketball Talk joins us. Scott, do you have us?
Yes, third time's the charm.
All right, third time.
How about that?
Third time is the charm. So Auburn, Virginia, Texas Tech, Michigan State. Entertaining Final Four or CBS's worst nightmare? It looks like he lost us once again. So that is a we'll reschedule, Scott.
That'll make things interesting.
And we'll see if we can get that figured out. 319-366-1600. Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Kyle, did you see that Tom Dundon, the AAF chairman, the former or the current owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, said today that the league is going to know more about the direction that they're heading in the coming days? Did you see this development?
I have not seen the most latest development.
The latest development is the Alliance of American Football, who, if you heard last week, Tom Dundon, the chairman, was clamoring for the NFLPA to create a partnership with the AAF so that they could use the bottom of the roster players from the NFL to possibly join the league. Well, that's not going to happen, and the NFLPA has said as much. And now Dundon says in the next couple of days they'll know what direction they're going. So let's connect the dots here. He said unless the NFLPA gives them the players, they might have to close shop. And since there's been absolutely no movement at all on the subject, and they're going to know in the next couple of days, it's looking like the league is going to shut down before the end of the year. If I had to guess right now, I'm guessing the AAF does not make it to the playoffs. This was the league that was going to make it. Am I surprised?
Yeah, that's...
Yes, that it's not going to make it to the end of the year. Yes.
So you didn't think... Did you actually think this was... Because I don't think... I'm not asking, did you think it was going to bail this fast? Because, of course not. But did you think this was actually going to be a long-term thing anyway?
That's a tough question. No. I thought that maybe 2 or 3 years. The UFL was a league that really, I thought, didn't have a chance, but it stuck around for 2 years. Do you guys remember that league at all? The United Football League had a team in Omaha.
I don't.
It was around for 3 years, and I remember somebody, because I've mentioned my younger brother was involved with the AAF for about 2 weeks, and now he's getting calls from the Arena Football League, but he's done with football. He had people calling him saying, yeah, I worked in the UFL and they didn't make payroll. Like, be careful, man. Be careful if you start seeing signs of problems. And we thought that sat there and said, oh, Bill Polian's involved and Troy Polamalu and Hines Ward. So many great NFL guys. They have a plan. Well, the warning signs were there from the beginning. And by week two, players weren't getting paid. And there's a chance that some of these players that gave a year of their career might not get paid the entire $70,000 that they're owed in the first season or the incentives of going to the playoffs. So,
you know, the thing that really grinds my gears about this whole thing, if the AAF had been able to get Colin Kaepernick on that $20 million deal, man, everything could have been different.
Colin Kaepernick on that $20 million deal. The AAF doesn't have $20 million. The AAF doesn't have $70,000 to pay players beyond week seven. So, I don't know. Bob and Amanda, thank you so much for texting in. 319-366-1600. Whether you're intending to or not, by the way, we're not. The call thing is good radio, worth a couple of chuckles. But to answer your question, it's not CBS's worst nightmare. 319-366-1600. Oh, by the way, there's a little bit of egg on my face. I know that Todd has already apologized for this, but I was also somebody who said, oh, there's no way. There's no way Fred Hoiberg is going to Nebraska. Why would he come back with all the picks of jobs that he's probably been offered over the past year? Why would he go to Nebraska? Well, yeah, Fred Hoiberg is going to Nebraska. Does that worry you as an Iowa fan? 319-366-1600.
Shouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll interject here real quick. That definitely should, right? Like,
yeah.
Nebraska, you could kind of lump, at least when it comes to basketball, you've been able to lump Nebraska in with your Rutgers. But now, with Hoiberg coming, maybe it won't happen next year, but in 2 to 3 years, you're looking at another legitimate basketball school. You know,
it's possible. I'll wait to see it, but he's also a guy that brings in a lot of transfers, so it could happen even sooner.
I guess, actually, yeah, you're right.
Could you imagine next year if Cam Lard ends up in Lincoln?
Oh,
what would
that is spicy.
What would happen to the internet? I'll give Keith Murphy credit for this. And on Twitter, he had mentioned, or on one of their recent sound offs, he mentioned, what happens if Cam Lard ends up at Iowa State? I'm not going to claim that any copyrights there or intellectual property because it was his. But yeah, I think that would be a pretty interesting flyer for Fred Hoiberg to take. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break. Our final break of hour number one. We'll come back. We'll set the stage for hour number two. We'll continue on the Fred Hoiberg to Nebraska discussion. Also, we'll get you ready for Iowa and Baylor, which we will be sending you out to at 6 o'clock tonight. More on the way after this.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary donor wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One and a member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Increase your visibility to great candidates with a free sponsored job upgrade on your first job posting at Indeed.com/promo. The sponsored job upgrade is a $50 sponsored job credit. Users are charged once the credit is spent or expires. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference calls, no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave.
Barbasol.
Back to the Todd Bottlecamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
4 hours worth of programming today, I think, right, Kyle? And we got to cram it into 2 hours. Yep. So much is going on, and thank you to 2922 on the text line for answering the question that I asked. Are you worried about Fred Hoiberg going to Nebraska? Yes, very worried. Iowa has had enough problems with Tim Miles. By the way, Rick Byrd, the coach at Belmont, retired today after, what, 35 years in Nashville. An interesting landing spot for Tim Miles. I think he's going to get another job at a mid-major. He just looks the part of a mid-major coach who will have plenty of success wherever he goes. But we're going to get you ready for Iowa and Baylor tonight. Did you get to watch any of the Sweet 16 contests?
Oh,
on Saturday.
I watched the whole thing. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Great. I've watched Megan several times. This, you know, not even just this season, but, you know, over her career, watching her do it in this tournament run against really high level competition, she might be a cyborg. Her footwork is so good. She's got people draped over her all the time, and she just has a way of finding a way to get her feet under her and get the ball up at the basket. And then, you know, I don't know if you've seen the video of her doing the mic and drill, but if she can get the ball up, it's probably going in. And she is just a machine out there.
I've said this before. One of the easiest players to take away in a basketball lineup is a back to the basket type. I'm not saying that you can completely do it without the expense of everyone else, but you can double a post player. It doesn't matter with her.
Yeah, theoretically you can.
She is one of the few post players I've ever seen that double and triple teams still mean that she's going to score 30 points and put up and pull down 14 rebounds. It's amazing.
And, you know, I'll just say, I know the matchup looks a certain way tonight, but, you know, when you're led by a player like that, you know, all it takes is just, you know, Mackenzie Meyer, Tanaya Davis, Kathleen Doyle.
They were all
hot.
Outstanding on Saturday too.
If the shooters get hot from the outside at the same time as Megan doing her work down low, anything can happen.
So we have a new sponsor for Big Board Updates. We're going to do it one time per hour, but we also have a headline that we are going to give people at the end of the hour. So Kyle, without further ado, what is our headline heading into hour number two?
Hey, you already know because we've been talking about it for the past couple minutes. The Iowa women are in the Elite Eight for the first time since 1993 after beating NC State 79-61 on Saturday behind 27 points and 13 rebounds from Megan Gustafson. Today, she was named a first-team AP All-American and has put together a very good resume to collect more Player of the Year awards than the ESPN honor she already has. Hannah Stewart also had a double-double with 16 and 11. Tanaya Davis had 10. Now tonight, the Hawkeyes face top seeded Baylor for a trip to the Final Four. The Bears are 34-1, but remember, Iowa State played even with this team for three quarters not long ago in the Big 12 championship game. Gustafson became the only Hawkeye to ever be named an AP first-teamer. She's also only one double-double, so she could do this tonight. She's one double-a-double away from the NCAA single-season record.
And that's brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Hour number one of the program is finished. We're going to head to hour number two. More Iowa and Iowa State, and also some Nebraska talk on the way after this.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course, with the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. Because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. The safest, most innovative Sprinter yet. Starting at just $33,790. Built for you. The all-new Sprinter. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference calls, no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with six ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave. Barbasol!
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps. When it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Kentucky has offered basketball coach John Calipari a lifetime contract. The deal would be a combination of a head coaching extension and a paid role as an ambassador following his retirement. The Athletic reported that Calipari had been in contact with UCLA about its coaching position and had offered him 6 years, $48 million. At Kentucky, he's currently the highest paid basketball coach in the country. Total compensation this year, $9.2 million. The eight NFL teams with new head coaches can begin offseason workouts this week or next. Cleveland and first-year coach Freddie Kitchens opting to do that today. Following a busy offseason, Cleveland a popular pick to win the AFC North. The pressure's all on the Browns, but Kitchens doesn't mind, explains ESPN's Dan Graziano.
The idea of having all these great players and having to make something out of that, I mean, what would you rather be? You look at it, there are coaches around the league who have a lot less to work with, who you could say would be under a lot more pressure to win and have a lot more difficult time doing.
Cleveland traded defensive lineman Emmanuel Ogba to the Chiefs for safety Eric Murray.
Coming up Tuesday with his college season done, is Zion's next step making the Mecca his home? And is there a chance LeBron never dons a Lakers jersey again? Plus your shot at going to the NFL draft with us on us. Tuesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update on KGYM was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
people think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the program. Alex and Kyle taking you up until 6 o'clock. Iowa and Baylor will tip things off in Greensboro at 6 o'clock. Did you catch any of the Kim Mulkey press conference? I want to play this for folks.
Yeah.
Because it went viral on Twitter, and Iowa State fans like myself
what
were all saying,
"What a pleasant lady.
Welcome, Iowa fans, to Kim Mulkey."
What a pleasant lady.
Well, let's give a little background on this first. Kim Mulkey was clearly very upset that ESPNW had the gall to name Megan Gustafson the National Player of the Year. She thought that it should have gone to her center, Kalani Brown. Now, Kalani Brown was sitting up on the podium talking to the media as well. She was sort of throwing some jabs out there that apparently everybody calls her
immobile,
slow. She's 6'7" and can't move her feet. So she kind of threw some slings and arrows back at the media, but you had a lot of Iowa media down in Greensboro asking Mulkey and Kalani Brown questions about Megan Gustafson. And if you didn't hear it, here it is.
Kalani, obviously you and Megan are Lisa Leslie Award finalists. A lot's going to be made of that matchup. Is it overhyped or is it, you know, important as all the hype is going to make it out to be?
I think it's a little bit of both. To be honest, it's just going to be two great post players playing a game.
Kalani, can you talk about some of the challenges you anticipate going up against Megan?
Well, with my lack of mobility, maybe her trying to get around me will be the biggest issue. I'm just going to try to move my feet and stay with her. I mean, we're both lefties, so we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, Coach David Newton with ESPN.com. Kalani almost seems like tongue-in-cheek when she talks about her lack of mobility. How has she improved in that over the years?
Well, tell me who you with. Where are you from?
Excuse me?
Identify yourself.
David Newton, ESPN.com.
Well, David, you wrote that she plays small at times, I think. So she hasn't shrunk. She's still 6'7". I don't know what you mean by mobility. She's not a perimeter player. Gustafson's not a perimeter player. Kalani had to guard Anigwe, who averaged a double-double for Cal, who was on pace to have tons of double-doubles. So that kid's pretty athletic. Kalani guarded her. So I'm not sure where this mobility problem people keep bringing up comes from. No, all I know is the kid's a special player, and she's got her hands full tomorrow against what is y'all's opinion, the best player in the country. And she's pretty good. Averages a lot of points, a lot of rebounds. I just don't want Kalani to have nightmares all night.
What is y'all's opinion, the best player in the country? Yeah, that was a direct jab at ESPNW for naming Megan Gustafson the National Player of the Year over Kalani Brown. Like a direct jab. And saying that she doesn't want her to have... That was sarcastic. I know that there are most people on the on our poll question at kgymradio.com or emails hideaway poll question think that Baylor is going to win pretty handily tonight. They're a 14.5 point favorite, but I think Iowa, Iowa State fans, you and I fans, well, mostly just Iowa and Iowa State fans, because Iowa State fans have had the pleasure of having Kim playing against Kim Mulkey a couple of times a season. It's just like every time I hear her speaking to ESPN reporters, she's complaining about something. She's the respect person. She's like she's the one always complaining that everyone else is slighting them. They've been to, I think, 13 of 19 Big 12 championship games in her time at Baylor. She's a great coach. That program is outstanding. They're the number one team in the country. Who is disrespecting them? Like, who out there is saying, oh, no, Baylor, they're overrated. They're not that good. Has anybody said that one time?
I tell you, I was diving into the stats today, and just after looking at those, I'm going to guess no. There's nobody saying that.
And I understand it's a great way to motivate your team. And so many coaches do that. However, isn't that something you kind of want to just keep behind closed doors? How many times have you asked Kirk Ferentz, hey, are you guys using this and this for bulletin board material? Are you using last year's results for motivation for this year? And he says no, knowing damn well that they have whatever bulletin board material it was or whatever result it was from last year plastered all over their locker room. They just don't acknowledge it to the public. But she goes out of her way to start whining to people who have no bearing over anything that happens on the basketball court involving her team, nor have they really said anything to disrespect that program.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We just normally don't hear about the bulletin board material. And so for Kim Mulkey to be, you know, so outward with this stuff, I think what she was actually doing, or what she would tell you she was doing, is sticking up for her player, or, you know, maybe she was being a little petty that they didn't give her player enough respect or whatever. But we don't, like you said, we don't normally hear about it. And so to see her and hear her talking about this stuff, especially so adamantly and so sarcastically, you know, there's part of it that she is sticking up for her player. But part of what's implied with that is that you're taking something away from Megan Gustafson. Megan has a fantastic resume this year. She is a fantastic player. You know, for them to act like it's, you know, in y'all's opinion, Megan's the best player, you know, it's not severe enough to say they're disrespecting Megan, but it just didn't feel like they were giving enough respect to the idea that Megan is also a very good player.
Matt in Cedar Rapids joins us on the phone line now, 319-366. You can follow him. He wants to talk about Kim Mulkey. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm an Iowa State fan, not an Iowa fan at all, but I hope Iowa just kicks their butt tonight. I'm, you know, being an Iowa State fan, you know, we see this from Kim Mulkey all the time. You know, she just plays the woe is me stuff. If you saw the end of the Big 12.
Oh, I saw it.
Title game this year, you know, she had the same type of reaction, you know, like, oh, it's like nobody knows y'all hadn't seen this win 17 Big 12 titles in a row or whatever it is. And she just makes me sick. And then the other thing, didn't the Baylor player bring up the fact of her mobility?
She did.
Or lack thereof or whatever. It wasn't the ESPN guy that brought it up. Is that right?
Correct. She brought it up earlier in the press conference.
So then the ESPN guy who had to identify himself twice and bow down to the queen, you know, the player brought it up first, and it wasn't a question about her skill from the reporter. And I don't know. I hope Iowa wins tonight, and that's coming from an Iowa ISU fan.
Thanks for the phone call, Matt. And I'm glad you brought up the post game interview from the Iowa State game, a game in which Iowa State gave Baylor a run for their money through three quarters. And then Baylor in the fourth quarter show that they're the best team in the country. They're the number one team in the country. That's where I first saw it. they had just won the Big 12 championship game. And I tried to go find this on on YouTube, and I couldn't because Baylor had edited out the clip of her complaining about people not giving them enough respect. You just won the championship game of the Big 12, and albeit they've done it plenty, as she pointed out. They've been there, 13 of 19 years, and they've won plenty of Big 12 championships. So maybe it's not the biggest or the best accomplishment for them anymore, but it's still the fact they won a championship. They're standing there, they're cutting down the nets, they have the gear on, and the first question that is asked of her, how are you feeling right now? Do you guys realize we've been here 13 to 19 years? Can't we get some respect? Like, how is somebody wired to the point where they just accomplish something that they set out to do? Now, I'm sure every coach would tell you that there's a checklist of goals that they want to accomplish every single year, and clearly, winning a Big 12 title is one of them. But how is somebody wired to the point where they just check off a goal, and somebody asks them a question, and the first thing that they think of is to complain about other people not giving them enough credit?
Exactly. Like, in that moment, of course, obviously we know you've won all the championships. It's just that you just achieved a goal, you're on television, and we just want to give you a moment to look good. Say something nice. Of course we know you're good. We're just giving you this opportunity, and you're right. How do you get to the point where you're just so hardwired, you accomplish a goal, and you're just right back into angry mode?
I don't know.
No time to celebrate.
309-366-1600, that's our phone line, and that's where David in Coralville joins us. David, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So while I agree with you, you know, that idea of, like, just be happy with what you accomplished, my biggest thing is I'm looking at the situation as you have essentially an adult, I guess by age, not necessarily behavior all the time, but you have an adult going after a kid. Like, to me, that's where the line is drawn. I can't imagine what would happen if, you know, let's say next year some DN comes out, let's say Iowa, Epineza, everyone's all excited about him, right? And Kirk in a press conference goes, oh, well, I guess you guys think this other kid's the best player, and rolls his eyes. Can you imagine, like, the scrutiny? I'm right there with you. But my thing is, how do you guys feel about the fact that it's an adult towards a kid?
Yeah.
Because I'm only 30, so I like to think I'm a kid, but I'm not. But I can't imagine myself publicly going after a 20-year-old. So anyway, I'll let you guys discuss that.
Thanks, David. And under your scenario, I got a perfect one for you. Do you remember prior to the semifinal matchup in the college football playoff between Alabama and Oklahoma, somebody asked Quinnen Williams about Kyler Murray? And Quinnen Williams could be a top three pick this year in the draft. And he said, you know what? I don't think he's all that he... And then he stopped. I don't think he's all that everybody makes him out. And then he just stopped. And everybody looked at that and said, wow, that was a really, really stupid thing to do right there, to give them a little bit more bulletin board material. Whatever the case is. Could you imagine now for a second, right, under that same scenario, if Nick Saban would have said that? You know what? Tua, he's the best quarterback in the country. I don't think that Kyler is everything that everyone makes him out to be. Same sort of scenario.
Okay.
In y'all's opinions, you're going to tell me that Kyler's the best player in the country?
I'm glad.
It's Tua.
I'm glad you brought it up like this, because some of the Baylor media have actually started to find its way onto my timeline, and kind of the response from the Baylor side of things is that, you know, everybody's making much ado about nothing up here because, you know, Kim Mulkey was just sticking up for her player and really wasn't even trying to say anything about Megan Gustafson. But you're right. If Nick Saban came out and said, you know, Tua's great, Kyler's not all he's cracked up to be, you know, that is kind of like, I don't know, again, it's sort of what I said before. It's not, I don't think she...
Could you imagine the headline that would create?
Oh my God. Football is just a monster in that way.
Like, he could have completely avoided what Quinnen Williams said and just said exactly what Kim Mulkey laid out there. Yeah, this is your guys' opinion. Kyler Murray, in your opinion, is the best player, and I'm just hoping that our defense doesn't get nightmares.
See, and that was almost the one that doesn't sit right with me, is the one about nightmares. It's like, oh, I just hope, I hope Kalani's not too scared of Megan Gustafson. Like that one does sit to me like, oh, Megan Gustafson. Like, I don't know, man. It just... Okay.
1723 on the text line. Thank you for chiming in. I want to read this text. Excuse me. Kim Mulkey is a fiery, as fiery as a coach, just as she was as a great player at Louisiana Tech. Although I disagree with what she said in regards to Megan Gustafson, I believe she talks this way to keep a chip on her player's shoulder to make them play harder. Just a thought. No, I 100% agree with you. That's what she's trying to do. We know what her motives are. She's one of those people, like when you listen to John Calipari talk, you know that Cal is always trying, he's always got an angle. Yeah. He's always trying to finagle his way into something. And you know what? Every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? Calipari's a funny guy. I like listening to him talk. With Kim Mulkey, that's what she's doing. But why do you have to insult people who didn't slight you and make up these ridiculous, elaborate schemes instead of just motivating your players behind the scenes? Why do you have to convince us and the players? Who are you trying to convince? What are you trying to convince me of? Like, what good does it do to try to tell me that I suck at my job? And what did I say that hurt you? And what impact does this have on the game? That's where I just don't understand what the point of this is. It, can't you just keep this behind closed doors? Can't, like I just said with Kirk Ferentz, you don't think that they have a whenever somebody talks poor, if they play Mississippi State again, you don't think they have all the quotes from the wide receiver saying they didn't beat us, we beat ourselves, plastered all over the locker room? You don't think that's going to happen? He'll say it's not. He'll tell us, oh no, that was last year. There's no carryover to this year. If you need that kind of motivation to get yourself up for a big game, you shouldn't be playing the sport. But at the same time, you know, Iowa State week, they're playing the Iowa State fight song in the locker room. They have every bad quote that somebody could possibly misconstrue as a slight against them all over the place. Is that too much to ask? Is that too difficult? Or do you have to try to explain your case to the media? And I don't necessarily know what the point of that is.
No, you're exactly right. If, like the texter pointed out, if you want to behave a certain way and talk a certain way to keep, you know, an edgy culture in the locker room and to make sure that, you know, nobody's getting too soft or anything like that, that's one thing. But like you said, you know, go back to the Big 12 tournament. You know, we're just asking you a simple question because you did something really, really good. Can you just, like, what?
How are you feeling right now? Well, I'm feeling like everybody disrespected us.
What edge do you need in that moment?
I guess everything about your career just trying to stick it to people who you think may have slighted you at some point?
You know what, though? This is going to be... This adds an exciting element. This is going to be the first time in my life I'm going to be watching the game tonight, but there's actually going to be like an element of behind-the-scenes stuff. For the first time, there's going to be a narrative.
There's storylines.
There's a narrative, all of a sudden, that I'm aware of. And it's going to be the first time that that's a part of my women's basketball experience.
319-366-1600 if you want to. The texts are rolling in and the text line is freezing out on me, but Ann in Solon says, is she trying to convince herself that Iowa might have a chance in this game? Well, with a team like Baylor, do you think that there's a little bit of, if you're coaching that team, you're worried, oh, we're playing Iowa, I think we're just going to walk all over Iowa. Do you think that she's trying to motivate them that way? Maybe a little bit. I think that there's a certain possibility, and she knows that if they don't play their best, Iowa has a chance to beat them. So we will find out. But Craig in Marion joins us on the phone line, 319-366-1600. If you want to follow him, Craig, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I'm a big-time Iowa State homer and a women's season basketball ticket holder, and I will tell you that I'm just as annoyed by Coach Mulkey as you guys probably are from a Hawkeye perspective. Iowa's got a definite chance to win tonight because they have Megan Gustafson. Iowa State does not have a premier post player like her. We have all the other pieces, but we don't have that piece. So we were really only able to hang with them three quarters every time we played them. The main thing that I think is chafing Coach Mulkey is the fact that not only did Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox not win Big 12 Player of the Year, because that was Bridget Carlton from Iowa State, but also Megan Gustafson winning the National Player of the Year, and neither one of those two winning it. So she's doubly mad. So like the other Iowa State caller, it's really not that hard for Iowa State fans to want to root for Iowa in this case, because I would enjoy watching her cry on TV, personally.
Thank you, Craig, for the phone call. And yes, I'm glad you brought up that other instance, because there was a lot of vitriol flowing from the Baylor side when Bridget Carlton won the Big 12 Player of the Year as well. These postseason awards, they're really sticking in the craw of a head coach in the Big 12, like a really successful head coach.
I imagine
that's what gets her upset.
I imagine Kim Mulkey just sitting around fuming because Iowa's just a thorn in her side all of a sudden.
Do we have the scouting report on Iowa? No. But Megan Gustafson won the national Player of the Year. We're going to worry about that instead of getting ready for a basketball game. And I know that she doesn't. I'm being facetious there, but she said it herself. She said it herself after they beat Iowa State in that Big 12 championship game. She said, "People come to Baylor and they realize they may not get the postseason awards, but they could start at pretty 10 or 11 of them can start at pretty much anywhere in the country, and they're there for a common goal." So now, understanding that, did you hear John Calipari complaining that that Anthony Davis didn't get SEC Player of the Year? Maybe he did. I don't quote me if I got that wrong. But did you see that year the team a couple of years ago in 2015 that Wisconsin beat? Did you see him complaining that any of those guys weren't getting any postseason recognition? Postseason recognition for a program like that, you just have bigger fish to fry. But it sounds to me like Iowa and Iowa State fans alike are rooting for Lisa Bluter, Megan Gustafson, and the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight.
Openly.
Openly.
Yeah, not even. We've had two callers now call in and say, yes, Iowa State fan here cheering for Iowa. So not only are they doing it, but they're admitting it. Got to be kind of a rare occurrence there.
Well, here's the deal. Baylor has not made it to the Final Four since 2012.
Wait, Baylor hasn't?
Baylor has not made it to the Final Four since 2012. They were knocked out in the Sweet 16 last year, and then the Elite Eight prior the four seasons prior.
See,
so hopefully that trend continues.
Yeah, I mean, crazy things can happen. That's really where I'm at right now. It's just crazy things can happen.
Is March with periods in between it. I'm just thinking of every single cliche I could throw out here. Crazy things happen in March. What's your favorite March Madness cliche that you like? Whenever something happens in a game, Twitter just explodes with.
Actually, that's it. This is March. Because it's the go-to. Everything is, by the time the tournament's over, everything is March.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually April now, but it's April 1st. Did you get anybody today? Did you bring any ketchup and mustard-filled donuts?
Wait, hold on. What did I do today? I did prank somebody. No, I didn't. That story fizzled.
309-366-1600. We need to take a break. We'll come back. Kyle will get you a big board update, and we're going to head to our final segment of the day before we send you out to this contest that we spent the better part of the last 25 minutes discussing. More on the way after this.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. It's gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
At Menards, we're committed to saving you big money on home improvement, and that's why nobody beats our prices. Get a Solius Air 45-pint dehumidifier that's perfect for indoor moisture control for only $149.99. Upgrade to a 70-pint unit that includes an internal pump to move water up to 16 feet away. Right now, just $199.99. Find these and other great deals going on now through April 6th during Menards Construction Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Our homes are where we make the best family memories, but sometimes things can get a little messy. Kids will be kids and dogs will be dogs, but your floors don't need to show it. Randy's Flooring offers the best selection of pet-proof and kid-proof flooring materials. Let one of the Randy's interior designers or sales professionals help you find the right products at the right price for you and your family. Visit randysflooring.com or stop by either corridor location and see why Randy's makes the difference. Randy's, local flooring experts by design.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Hang on just a second. Let me settle in and I'll be right back.
529, winding down on a Monday program, 30 minutes to play with before we send you out to Greensboro, Iowa, taking on Baylor in the Elite Eight, a trip to the Final Four in Tampa, I believe, on the line tonight. But first, Kyle needs to give you a big board update.
The Iowa women are in the Elite Eight for the first time since 1993 after beating NC State 79-61 on Saturday behind 27 points and 13 boards from Megan Gustafson, who today was named a first-team AP All-American and has put together a really good resume to collect more Player of the Year awards than the ESPN honor she already has. Hannah Stewart also had a double-double with 16 and 11. Tania Davis had 10. Now, tonight, the Hawkeyes face top-seeded Baylor for a trip to the Final Four. The Bears are 34-1, but remember, Iowa State played even with this team for three quarters not long ago in the Big 12 championship game. Gustafson became the only Hawkeye to ever be named an AP first-teamer and is also one double-double away from the NCAA single-season record, but Iowa State's Bridget Carleton was also named a second-teamer. Iowa State's Talon Horton Tucker declared for the NBA draft this afternoon, making him the second Cyclone departure since the season ended. It's unclear whether or not he's hired an agent at this time, but his statement does not read like a guy who plans on coming back to school. The Hawkeye baseball team swept 25th-ranked Illinois, a team that entered the weekend with the fifth-highest RPI in the country. A comeback win in Game 1 was followed by a pitcher's duel, fueled and won by sophomore Cam Bauman, not to be outdone by Grant Judkins, who gave up just one run in seven innings in a 3-1 Game 3 victory. The Hawkeyes have two more midweek games this week, hosting Grandview at 4 o'clock tomorrow and Illinois State at 6 on Wednesday. The Colonels open their season on Thursday, and today we got our first look at the official opening day roster. It features four of the Twins' top 30 prospects, according to Baseball America. Blaine Enloe is 8th, Junior Severino's 10th, Jordan Balazovic 20th, and Gilberto Celestino 30th. We're going to be off at 6 o'clock tonight because we're bringing you that Iowa-Baylor game on all three KGYM frequencies. They should be tipping off almost immediately after we get off the air, and then we're also going to have Stanford-Notre Dame.
319-366-1600 right now. Caller number 6 will win our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. 319-366-1600 on the line right now, a $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. So we will be there not this week, but next week for the KGYM road trip. 3 to 6 is their daily happy hour. After 6, half price wings. It is a fantastic place to catch the Final Four, Major League Baseball, plenty of TVs, and a great atmosphere. We'll find out who caller number 6 is in just a second. Want to also mention that Mondays on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn are being brought to you by Randy's Flooring. You can head to kgymradio.com to find out more information. And we've been receiving some calls. Every once in a while, we'll get a call why we're not talking about this, why we're not talking about that. This is, after all, a 3-hour show normally, a 2-hour show today. So we do this thing called segments where we'll get to things, and I understand that you're not able to hear things live. So if you want to go back and listen to the entire podcast, our podcast will be available. So if you missed our discussion about Kim Mulkey, the Iowa-Baylor matchup just a second ago, go to our website, kgymradio.com, and you can find the podcast of this show. You'll be able to find the podcast of the gym class from earlier today as well. We'll have a full show tomorrow. Plenty of great guests on the way, and we'll give you more information on that. Is Sean in Vinton. Congratulations to Sean. He is the first winner of our $30 gift certificate to Mulligan's Pub. Want to also mention we're going to be at the leaderboard on Thursday. And I know we did some check-ins during the NCAA tournament, but the leaderboard is the new golf simulator sports bar in North Liberty. Not only do they have 5 PGA endorsed golf simulators, they have, you can play mini golf, ski ball, they have dart boards, pool, pinball, classic arcade games, 24K TVs. I was there on Saturday. It is spectacular. So we're going to be there on Thursday. I'm very excited about that. But check out the leaderboard at 680 Mead Drive in North Liberty. I just feel like it's time to catch my breath a little bit. It's one of those days where I wish we had the full 3 hours, because there's been so much just sort of piled on, and we touched on it briefly, but Fred Hoiberg heading to Nebraska, and I have to go back and find this text, but I asked, are Iowa fans worried? And the texter said, basically, why would Iowa fans be worried that they might finish seventh instead of 6th in the Big Ten, being facetious that way? I appreciate the
tough crowd out here.
The tough crowd texting in, but can Fred Hoiberg do the same thing he did at Iowa State in Lincoln, Nebraska?
I honestly don't think there's really any reason to say no, because he's got the name, okay? Fred Hoiberg is a name. He's got, he didn't win a national title at Iowa State, but he had some success there. People know him. And then, you know, he's got experience in the NBA now as well. He's just I think recruiting alone is going to bring a talent level to Nebraska ball that it is not familiar with. Who knows exactly how high he will actually be able to coach them, but I feel very safe in saying that the increase in talent that Nebraska is about to see over the next few years is going to be, you know, much more than they've seen in recent memory.
I know Iowa State fans remember, and I've never understood the bashing of his ideology as far as recruiting at Iowa State. He's not necessarily a guy who likes to recruit. He doesn't go out and get a bunch of talented or highly regarded high school prospects. Now, some of the guys that he brought into Iowa State became very good players, and a lot of them were high school players. Now, he brought in a lot of transfers as well, and I think that he showed that he can pull that off. There were so many doubters that he could pull that off at Iowa State. That doesn't work. You're going to have chemistry issues. Well, they didn't really. And they had a really long string of success based on the players that he brought in and the way that he coached them. But yeah, I don't necessarily see a reason why that can't work at Nebraska. Nebraska is a place that I still think they're trying to figure out what type of coach works there. There isn't a right answer at this point. No, none of the past coaches, Tim Miles, Doc Sadler, none of these coaches have necessarily worked the way that they had hoped for them to work. And they could not have handled the Tim Miles situation more poorly and then turned that into more of a slam dunk than the way that they just sort of fell into Fred Hoiberg, a guy from Lincoln with ties to the area and that wanted to coach there.
That's almost what, like, I won't say it doesn't sit well with me because, you know, it doesn't actually, I don't care at all. But just after watching what Bill Moose did to Tim Miles, like you just said, we don't need to rehash it, but, you know, Tim Miles was a dead man walking for a week and a half coaching a basketball team through a tournament. And, you know, he did as good of a job as he could, but after Bill Moose did what he did to Tim Miles, like you said, it seems unjust that he can go from behaving like that to just doing a slam dunk of a job bringing in Fred Hoiberg. Because here shortly, everybody's going to forget what he did to Tim Miles and how he treated him, and they're only going to remember the fact that he nailed down Fred Hoiberg.
I thought that Bill Moose handled his first coaching hire very well, and I gave him a lot of credit for it, the Scott Frost situation. Now, if you forget, UCF was in the middle of an AAC championship run, and they were playing Memphis the week of that championship game, and you knew that Nebraska, you didn't hear any rumblings. You knew Nebraska had their guy, but everything was just kept quiet. He let Scott Frost coach. He let Scott Frost coach in the bowl game and go back and forth because he knew it meant a lot to him. And I think he tried to take that same stance with Tim Miles. Excuse me. I think he wanted to say, oh, well, let's just let him finish out the season. Let's let him be the coach of this team through the NIT the way that Tim Miles conducted himself and how they played in the Big Ten tournament. It was going to be hard to say, all right, we're just cutting bait with you right now, and we're going to send you on your way. Bill Moose wasn't even at the Big Ten tournament, as we found out. And then things sort of spiraled. They start winning games, then they lose in the Big Ten tournament, then they're playing in the NIT, then they lose in the NIT, and then the next day you didn't hear anything, and Tim Miles didn't know what was going on, and it got strung out, and it was handled very poorly after they lost in the NIT. So I agree with you. I lost a little bit of respect for Bill Moose with the way that was handled because they let a good guy sort of twist in the wind, and he was the one having to answer the questions every day while Bill Moose was nowhere to be found. 309-366-1600, Major League Baseball season is underway. Newsflash in the NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers are very good.
Christian Yelich pretty good.
Christian Yelich is, oh man, gosh. I knew he was good coming from Miami. He's ridiculous.
I actually...
He is unbelievable.
During last offseason, I was, you know, coming up with ways, you know, how can I get the Cubs a center fielder and a leadoff hitter, and the Marlins had Yelich for sale, and, you know, I never... It never really, I don't think, had any smoke to it or anything, but I remember thinking, you know, sure it would be nice if the Cubs could maybe, you know, give up something small for Christian Yelich. But that was, I don't think anybody knew he was going to be this good. Like, he was a good player. I don't think anybody knew he was going to take that step forward quite like this.
And we'll get to it right now, the Chicago Cubs. I'll just leave that open-ended for you.
Javi Baez, pretty good.
He's really good. He's also really good.
No,
I think he's going to have a great year like he did last year.
You know what, though? It hurt my stomach to just come to remember this because Javi Baez has been off to a good start, and the offense has been off to a good start. But
the pitching
pretty much stops there. John Lester had a pretty good start on opening day. And that is really the only good pitching performance to speak of. Quintana did a decent job after Darvish had to get pulled early after he walked the entire batting order. We did our picks last week, and I remember saying that, you know, on paper, if the Cubs pitching, you know, performed as well as it could, then I thought the Cubs would still win that division and still be the best team in the National League. And I don't mean to overreact to opening weekend, but what we saw was the Cubs, you know, the lineup did what,
hit.
Yeah, the lineup did what Cubs fans wish it would do all the time, which is hit with consistency, you know, hit with runners on, you know, all that. It was great. But, you know, I think we got a preview of the season with all those runs, few shaky starts, Pedro Strop, you know, wild pitch.
What are they going to do about that bullpen?
I don't know, Alex, and I don't know, because they could have done it all off season, and you know they told us all off season that there's no money for the Cubs to be given anybody. The Cubs can't help themselves, and I thought that meant they weren't going to be able to sign Bryce Harper, which they didn't. But it turns out that meant they couldn't sign anybody. The bullpen, they brought in a Brad Brock. There's another name. I know there's at least one other guy who I can't even remember his name. They did nothing to address the pitching, pretty much up and down. So I don't want to overreact to opening weekend, but I think we just got a really good preview of what the Cubs season is going to be, which is maybe a lot of offense, but you know, I don't think the pitching is good enough to complement that hitting anymore.
Cardinals got a win today. They moved to 2-3 on the season. I know there was a little bit of reaction. I don't understand why they're still running Adam Wainwright out there every fifth day. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think that it's sort of time to admit that he's probably there's little left in the tank with his career. He's had a fantastic career, and they have plenty of other guys in that organization that could be starting. And I think that it's time to admit that, but the bullpen has been a little shaky so far, but that Paul Goldschmidt guy is he's pretty good. 3 home runs against Milwaukee on Friday night. He has just feasted on NL Central pitching so far, and I feel like that we're not doing the MLB justice by talking about it when Todd is not here.
I know.
Doesn't that feel weird?
It is a little bit weird because we can't talk about it. Certainly in the same way, or at least with the same depth. But, you know, just easy observations from the first 3 or 4 games or so. By the way, you bring up Goldschmidt. Christian Yelich homered in, what, first 5 games of the season? Paul Goldschmidt homered 3 times in 1 game in the second game of the season. Javi Baez also off to a hot start.
429 batting average through 3 games.
The NL Central, man, kind of off to a fun start.
There's some off.
Just like we were hoping.
The question is, circling back around, for those that didn't hear our segment in hour number 1, will the Final 4 get off to a hot start? Are you excited for the matchups? Auburn against Virginia, Texas Tech against Michigan State. And I know that I've been sort of banging this drum for a couple of weeks now. But Jarrett Culver, if you're the guy like me that said, okay, Zion Williamson is out, he made this tournament, this already fun tournament, even more fun, and I'm going to miss watching that type of player. Now, he's not Zion Williamson, but he is very fun to watch. Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech is a monster, and people, you're really on the Jarrett Culver train. You really like that guy. You won't shut up about Jarrett Culver. He's good.
That's a top 10 NBA pick right there, probably.
With this draft?
Lottery for sure.
Yeah, I could see him squeaking into that top 5 conversation right now. But there's a lot of things that have to shake out. Not a ton of NBA talent, but he is one of them. Is that what's driving a lot of people away? Or at least the national narrative? Because so many times we hear ESPN, all they talk about is the NBA. Is that sort of where these takes are coming from?
That the take that people don't care about the Final Four?
Because there just isn't a lot of NBA talent in there. DeAndre Hunter from Virginia is going to be a top 15 pick.
You know, I've heard, My first thought, real quick, is that I've actually heard a lot of people say that they think this has been a fantastic tournament. Great Elite Eight action. A lot of people have liked it. But if there was going to be any kind of drawback, I think you're right. You know, you look at the teams and Jarrett Culver, you know, because Cassius Winston, probably your best, you know, quote unquote, best player remaining in the field. But Cassius Winston is not an NBA player.
No.
He's not really all that, you know, regarded as even a prospect, really.
No, he's an overseas player.
Texas Tech.
At the next level.
Texas Tech's Jarrett Culver is your best NBA prospect right now. And he's, like I said, maybe a lottery pick at a school that nobody is really familiar with unless you, you know, are a fan of another Big 12 team. I think I hadn't really even thought about it, but there is almost no star power in this. I mean, you've got DeAndre Hunter at Virginia.
What do you
but
think of him?
I mean, he's going to be, he could play in the league for a while, but he's not, I would be careful even projecting him to be above average.
DeAndre Hunter could be a top 15 pick, like you said. I like watching him play. He's more of a defensive-minded guy, and that's what you're looking at with two of these teams. And for the defense wins championships crowd, this is your Final Four. You have Virginia, one of the best defensive teams in the country. Texas Tech, also one of the best defensive teams in the country. Tom Izzo and Michigan State, they harp on defense. Bruce Pearl, they like to lock it in on defense. And I'm not saying that these games won't be exciting, but there will be sort of that void of NBA talent and maybe a little bit of firepower. But joining us before we wrap things up and send you out to Greensboro, Cajun Troy. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, listen, I love this Final Four. I am so sick of ESPN. Listen, Zion would not be able to show us nothing that we haven't seen all year. We've seen him every week. We know what he could do. We know how high he could jump. We know what he could do. So, I am so happy that these four teams and these kids get an opportunity to be exposed and not everything about Zion Williams and Coach K. I don't watch pool basketball games because it drives me crazy because they go 3-4 minutes, 5-11 minutes without scoring. So I always watch the last 3 minutes of a game. But the Final Four, I'm going to enjoy it because I texted my nephew before the Duke game. I said, you know who wins NCAA tournaments? Good point guards. I said, Michigan State has an excellent point guard. And if he plays this game and control the tempo, they're going to beat Duke, you know? And I love it. I think, that's just shows. And so, and Zion going to make a lot of money. We got the rest of the NBA to hear about him as LeBron James go down. So I'm excited about it. And I don't miss him being in the Final Four. I really don't. So you guys take care and have a good one. Okay?
Thanks for the phone call, Troy. Mike from Marengo on the text line. If I wanted to watch NBA players, I would watch the NBA. I don't like the NBA. Therefore, I like the Final Four. I took a quantitative reasoning class, and I'm pretty sure that's some kind of rule that he just followed.
Let's see.
No, let's not see. I'm not digging through my old textbook, but that was very well drawn out logic. And I'm pretty sure if you would have put that towards my professor my senior year, you would have gotten an A, Mike.
And I think Cajun Troy touched on the same exact idea. She's happy Zion's gone. And I think, I don't want to speak for Scott. I can't actually remember his comments on this matter, but I think Scott Unash is probably happy to be rid of Zion and just happy to enjoy the basketball for the art of the game. I think there's a certain population out there who get a little bit sick of the fanfare and, you know, let me shove Zion down your throat.
What are we shoving down your throat, though? A great generational player? Like a guy that can play basketball better than anybody at the college level by a long distance. And I see what you're saying, and I know people have come at me with this.
I'm actually a little bit more with you.
Right.
But so, I think Mike from Marengo is sort of the counter to that. He's a great player in the frame of he's going to go on to the NBA and be a really good player.
But he's also very good at the college level. Like highly entertaining to watch. Like, did you not see RJ Barrett throw the ball nearly up over the backboard Again, who they play in that game? I already forgot. See, that's what I'm saying. The opponent is irrelevant to me when I watch him. It is.
No, you're right. Certain stuff like that, you know, you just have to
watch.
I
thought the ball was going out of bounds. In full stride, he grabs it, and the ball was nearly up over the backboard and throws it down. Nobody else can do that. And when I'm watching sports, sort of the baseline that I'm looking at, can they do something that I can't? Isn't that part of the draw to sports? Because if it wasn't, I'd go watch the basketball at the YMCA. I could do that. Wouldn't be very entertaining now, would it?
What if we did? What if ESPN covered just rec league basketball? There was a fight at the Y today.
319-366-1600. We need to take our final timeout. We'll come back. Kyle will get you a headline, and then we'll head to Greensboro. More on the way after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Our homes are where we make the best family memories, but sometimes things can get a little messy. Kids will be kids and dogs will be dogs, but your floors don't need to show it. Randy's Flooring offers the best selection of pet-proof and kid-proof flooring materials. Let one of the Randy's interior designers or sales professionals help you find the right products at the right price for you and your family. Visit randysflooring.com or stop by either corridor location and see why Randy's makes the difference. Randy's, local flooring experts by design.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Progressive presents Get Pumped, inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just going to stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo! Ow, that hurts my fingers.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure. Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Spain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SPAIN. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
/6179 agree with Zion's comments, but made me scratch my head comparing to Jimmer Fredette during his tourney run. Big difference. Oh, yeah, there are a lot of differences. And I wasn't necessarily, I obviously not at all comparing the talent level. It's a huge difference. You have one guy who's better than everybody, but you have another guy who just became this sensation, this viral sensation. And I'm sort of speaking towards the social media viralness of Jimmer Fredette and the icon that he became in the college game. We know Zion's going to be an icon not only in the college game but the NBA game as well. Jimmer was just in the college game.
Yeah, and because you're right. With Jimmer and Steph, it was sort of a spectacle thing. But let's not take anything away from them. In the college game, those guys were elite talents. You shoot like that, and I mean, Steph's gone on to have quite an NBA career, obviously. But, you know, you shoot like that, you're just, if you can shoot as good as Jimmer Fredette, you are just as good in college as Zion Williamson.
That's a fair statement. Before we get out of here, Kyle needs to give you a headline brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yep, the biggest story tonight is the Iowa women. They're in the Elite Eight for the first time since 1993 after beating NC State 79-61 on Saturday. They got 27 points and 13 rebounds from Megan Gustafson, who today was named a first-team AP All-American and has put together a very good resume to possibly collect more Player of the Year awards than the ESPN honor she already has. Hannah Stewart also had a double-double with 16 and 11, and Tania Davis had 10. Now tonight, they're going to need all the help they can get. The Hawkeyes face top-seeded Baylor for a trip to the Final Four. The Bears are 34-1, but remember, Iowa State played this team even for three quarters in the Big 12 championship game just less than a month ago. We're going to get off the air here in just a few minutes ago and bring you that game on all three KGYM frequencies.
We're going to send you there now. Iowa and Baylor in Greensboro.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges.